On senior night, Virginia storms into the Carrier Dome and walks away with a 79-53 win as Kyle Guy explodes in the Loud House with 8 three-pointers to spoil a nice send-up.
Back here on the double overtime, yeah, we've been talking about Kyle Guy because he's pretty good at basketball, and we're going to be talking about probably him and some other guys for the next 48 minutes or so, because that's how much longer we're on air. You can call us at 315-443-2011. We listened to the Jim Boeheim press conference, broke it down for a little bit. By the way, Jonah Karp and Marcus Gronauer with you, and now we're joined by Jack McMullen. He was at the game. He got to watch Kyle Guy in person, and he got to watch Jim Boeheim in person break down the game himself. Jack, how you doing?
I'm good. I checked something off my bucket list today, and that was see the best shooting performance I've ever seen. So that was, I'm young, so hopefully I have a lot of time to see more good shooting performances. But that was otherworldly. Was it Guy, Jerome, Hunter combined 18 of 23 from deep? My goodness gracious. So that was unbelievable to see live. But then, you know, just kind of hearing the temperature both in the Syracuse locker room and then from both head coaches, too, it was really interesting. And those are two different head coaches, to say the least.
What was the general atmosphere like in the press conference for Jim Boeheim?
It wasn't as quick as you were thinking it was. So I was in there with Drew Carter and Dana Gray, who were the two people who called this game for AR Sports. And we talked before it, and there was talk, is he going to be under 5 minutes? Is he going to be over 5 minutes? He definitely got over 5 minutes. He had a lot of praise for Virginia. He had a lot of bad things to say about Syracuse. But, you know, really, what else is new with that? Honestly, he gives tough love to this team. And sometimes it doesn't feel like love. It just feels tough. But it was definitely tough love. He said this was the best or the worst three-point defense he's ever seen from his team this year. He said O'Shea can't score. He said when this team, you guys listened to the presser. Yeah. He said when Tyus doesn't do anything, this team can't do anything. It was really pessimistic, but he also had a lot of great things to say about a team that he thoroughly believes can contend for a national title this year.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned you have not seen anything like that from three. In your opinion, do you think SU should have done something different defensively? I mean, you saw Syracuse try and extend that 2-3 zone, or was it just UVA was hitting everything and you can't really do anything about it?
UVA was hitting absolutely everything. Tony Bennett, in his opening statement, he said we had our night tonight in terms of shooting because those three guys did have their night tonight. And when Jim Boeheim was asked, is this the best shooting performance you've ever seen? He said, it's as good as I've seen. And he actually used a complete sentence to describe that. It was unbelievable. Kyle Guy, his last 2 3-point field goals, he was fading away to the weak side. So it's not even like he's in rhythm and he can flick it with his right hand while he's fading left. He's fading right, so he has to fight his body. It's almost like a cross-body throw with a quarterback running. And as soon as it was airborne, you knew that it was falling. The depth thing was just not a thing. And Matthew Gutierrez, who writes for the Daily Orange and also freelances a little bit with the Washington Post, put a great thing together for the DO a couple days ago, just kind of detailing the depth perception. And he talked to 88 people, 88 former players that have shot in here. And it was pretty much split 50-50. It matters, it doesn't matter. Obviously, it doesn't matter to Virginia.
You know, at some point, if you're a basketball fan, you have to take a step back and say, wow, you know, what a thing I'm just watching, you know, in person. I can't believe I'm here watching. Did you find that even though Syracuse was in a blowout, the fans that stuck around toward the end of the game were just in amazement about what they were seeing?
Well, they left with 5 minutes to go
all
in the game.
Them?
No, not all of them. I'd say over 50% did, but the 40% that were there to watch. Can Kyle Guy get his ninth? Can DeAndre Hunter go 6 of 8? Can Ty Jerome go 6 of 7? You were there to watch Virginia. Not pertaining to the press conferences at all. I'm from just outside of Chicago, Illinois. DePaul is really bad at basketball. So my dad would get season tickets to DePaul basketball because we would go see Greg Monroe in Georgetown play or Kemba Walker in UConn play. The people that were sticking around were the ones that wanted to see Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter, who Jim Boeheim said is a lottery pick. I think everybody knew that, but it's a game like this that just makes you take a step back and say, if my team doesn't get him sixth overall, we're making a mistake. So that's the type of night that three people had for Virginia.
And now I want to transition to the Syracuse offense, because Syracuse was in the game, I mean, more than in the game in the first half, but in the second half, I mean, UVA continued its onslaught of three-point
shooting. It was 47-19 in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, what on earth happened? Was it just a combination of horrible shots?
And I'm going to give you the Jim Boeheim response. They shot well.
We didn't make shots.
You know, Syracuse, the 2-3 zone, how do you beat the 2-3 zone, Jonah?
You shoot threes.
You shoot threes from where?
The wings.
From the wings. And you also feed a guy on the free throw line and someone's cutting baseline, right? And that's what you were doing with your hands just now. People forget this is a radio show. But it really felt like the one weakness from beyond the arc that it could be exploited by the 2-3 zone was exploited on steroids today. And it was absolutely insane to watch because they could not miss. It felt like, what, the three is 24 feet out? Is it 21?
I think it's 24 feet out.
Is it
24? I'll double check
with that. I want to say it's 24. It felt like it was 10 feet out. It felt like they were taking mid-range jumpers. The arc didn't say that it was a deep three ball that they were taking, even though Ty Jerome took a couple from 30 feet out and Kyle Guy was just chucking up shots. At 22. So we were both wrong. How about that?
We're sitting in with Jack McMullen. He was at the game. He listened in on the Jim Boeheim press conference, also listened in on the Tony Bennett press conference. Yeah. And, you know, the different atmospheres, different things that either player had to say. What did Tony Bennett have to say?
That guy's just positive. He was, it felt like Brian Scalabrine during his heyday with the Celtics and Bulls when he was always the first one off the bench and smiling and giving everybody high fives. It was the coach doing that. For my money, everybody starts with a disclaimer in normal, like, NBA talk radio. Okay, you can draft anybody in the world right now. It doesn't matter if they're in the NBA or college or high school, except Giannis. Who are you taking? And then it becomes a conversation because Giannis is going to be the resounding first pick for everybody. Tony Bennett, now, if you're going to say, all right, build me a college program, who's your head coach? If you're just talking longevity-wise and a scheme, you'd be an idiot to not take Tony Bennett to coach that team. So that is a guy that exudes positive vibes, and he had a lot of great things to say. He said, listen, tonight was our night shooting. It was unbelievable. He also took a little jab at Buddy, but it was a friendly jab.
What did he say?
Not only was Guy good at shooting the ball, good on offense, he was great on guarding the coach's son. So not referring to him as Buddy was very interesting, but he also praised a guy that really didn't play well, and that was Tyus Battle. He said, we recruited him, he's a heck of a player, and he's greatly improved from the time of recruitment. Remember, Tyus was committed to Michigan, he decommit, he came to Syracuse, Virginia still had eyes on him. That was a top 40 player in the country when he came out. So hearing that from one of the best coaches in America, if not the best coach in America right now, about your star player should really sit well going into Clemson.
You know, we've argued on this show alone, you know, many times, who is the most important player on this team? I think the argument it ends when you say who's the best player on this team, and that's Tyus Battle. But maybe the most important for Syracuse to win on a consistent basis, you know, is it Battle? Is it Brissett? Is it Frank Howard? I don't know. After tonight, I think it's probably safe to say it is Tyus Battle, considering he had probably his worst performance of the season, or it is top five, you know, and that was a big reason why Syracuse couldn't pull out a victory.
When they pull off the unthinkable, when they go to Cameron and they beat Duke 95-91 in overtime, it takes 35-plus from Tyus to do it. So that tells you all you need to know. He is the best player resoundingly. All the talk in the preseason about Tyus being O'Shea Brissett being the best player. Jim Boeheim made that clear that he cannot shoot and he hasn't been able to shoot from the get-go of this season. He doubled back and said that. He said, O'Shea can't shoot and he hasn't been able to shoot. And then he paused for a little bit and said, from day one of this year. So all the talk about O'Shea Brissett maybe being the most talented player just goes right out the window. Tyus is resoundingly the best player on this basketball team, even though Elijah Hughes is really good at shooting the three ball. And he struggled in the second half. He struggled defensively. He struggled shooting as well. But O'Shea is not the most important player. Pascal Chukwu is actually a pretty important player, but Frank Howard is not as important. If Tyus Battle goes, this team is not winning.
You know, that's something that I've always believed in. Syracuse goes as Tyus Battle goes for the most part in most games when Tyus Battle does play well and is a leader on the floor defensively and offensively. Syracuse more often than not wins those games. I want to talk about Frank Howard just for a little bit. We have seen him time and time again this season not really want to attack the basket, just stay by that three-point line. It just is not the same Frank Howard that we're accustomed to seeing, especially last season. Is this a concern, if you're Coach Boeheim, that Frank Howard is playing like he is now, where he's just really staying on that three-point line? I mean, he had 6 points tonight. All of those came in the first half. He played 22 minutes. I mean, is this a concern going forward that your point guard is struggling mightily?
Yeah.
Like, what are you supposed to do?
Here's the thing. You say that it's not what we've come to expect from Frank Howard. What have we come to expect from Frank Howard? He's just been different each of the 4 years that he's been on this team. He was a shining star his freshman year. He was going through a sophomore slump his sophomore year. His junior year, he kind of took that next step, and you said, oh, just wait till next year. And now next year, it feels like it hasn't come yet, and we're waiting on him. It's like he's mentally redshirting. So it's really hard to watch a guy who got resounding applause from 29,000 people on senior night tonight struggle and only play 22 minutes when this is a guy that could be playing 40 and played 40 every game down the stretch last year and played 40 on a Sweet 16 team last year. This is a different team. They're built a different way. Buddy Boeheim is probably the fourth best player on this team. I'm willing to lock that in. But, you know, when you have Frank Howard, quote-unquote, commanding point, and he's not even doing that, it's time to shift. And it's time to let Tyus Battle run the team because he's the only guy that can do it. And that's what Jim Boeheim was saying. He said, listen, this team, when Tyus doesn't play well, we're not going to win.
Jack, in your estimation, do you think that maybe this could be a blessing in disguise that Syracuse got beat down this late in the season before the tournament?
Yes, because they played tight with Carolina. If they didn't play tight at Carolina, then we're having a totally different conversation about this, and this is demoralizing. But the word demoralizing was being thrown around the locker room afterwards, and that temperature in the locker room was not good. And Elijah Hughes, he wasn't speaking with any volume. Tyus Battle was not speaking with any volume. Buddy Boeheim was speaking with a little bit of volume, but that's really it. And everything was negative because you just lost by, what, 26? Yeah, 26. Yeah. Virginia scored 54 points from beyond the arc. Syracuse scored 53 points in the game. The temperature's not going to be good in the locker room, but you get smacked in the mouth this late. It would have sucked more if it came after a blowout loss to Carolina. But the fact that you played tight with Carolina and put up 85 points on probably the second hottest team in the country right now behind this Virginia team, then you really have no idea what to do. You can just tip your cap and say, listen, this is the smack in the mouth we needed, and we'll move forward for that. We'll play Clemson, and then we'll hit the ACC tournament, play a team that you could possibly beat the first week or the first day, and then the second day run into what, Duke, Carolina? It's tough.
Yeah, it'll be tough. And I want to get one more thing here. Syracuse in the first half, I mean, Virginia averages or allows 54 points per game to its opponents. Of course, Syracuse ends up with 53, right. But in the first half, Syracuse had 34 points at halftime. And I was thinking, okay, I mean, this is not what we've come to expect playing against Virginia. I mean, you remember that game last year, Syracuse had 44 points total in the game. So if you're Syracuse, is that second half collapse more of a product of Virginia just being dominant defensively, one of the best defensive teams in the nation? Or is that more of a concern of Syracuse not actually running any sort of offense, taking bad shots? I mean, you saw Tyus Battle just pull up from three early in the shot clock. I mean, you saw O'Shea Brissett take bad shots? I mean, is it more of just Virginia as a whole just being all over the place defensively, or is it more of Syracuse just not doing anything offensively?
I'm interested to go to the archives and fact check this, but I think the bulk of it was Virginia just put on the best shooting performance the Carrier Dome has ever seen. So that was that, and that really doesn't help you if you're SU. But I think that a lot of it was, as a working media member there, you go into it with a preconceived notion that Virginia is going to be a boa constrictor that just tightens and squeezes you purple in the face with their pack line defense. It is the most notorious defense in the country, more notorious than Syracuse's 2-3 zone, even though Jim Boeheim's been running it for 43-plus years now. Tony Bennett has the best defensive mind college basketball has maybe ever seen. And he's young, which is really interesting. I say I'm young. Tony Bennett's young in terms of the coaching sphere. Jim Boeheim is probably the most famed defensive basketball coach of all time. Tony Bennett will be right up there with him when his career is all said and done. And it was like you were sitting at the edge of your seat saying, where is this pack line? Where's this boa constrictor ready to tighten? And then when you came out in the second half, Syracuse only turned the ball over four times in the first half. It was a really clean first half for them, and they were working vertically. They were working around the perimeter, too. So when you come out and you see Virginia force some quick turnovers, and then Kyle Guy hit a three and then get a steal 10 seconds into the shot clock on the other side of the floor, you're looking at that and saying, they're not going to do anything anymore. They were scoreless for 5 minutes in that second half, early in that second half.
There's a 21-3 run. I mean, it was ugly.
It was really ugly. And that is what Virginia basketball does. They make games look absolutely horrendous, and they make you want to turn the TV off, but you can't because it's so beautiful. It's like it's like a horror movie where you can't take your eyes on off the screen, yet you're so disgusted by what's happening on the screen.
It's like the rubberneck effect or something.
Right.
Car crashes.
Yeah, rubberneckers. Yeah. It's almost like a rubbernecker. You're seeing pure chaos happen on the floor that is the ugliest basketball you've seen, and yet you can't take your eyes off of it because it's so beautifully hideous.
What's the biggest positive takeaway that you think we could walk away from this game and say, you know what, it wasn't all bad, and this is what we can work on moving forward, this is what we can build on?
If you had a 9 p.m. flight out of Hancock, you probably had to leave the game at halftime. So I think I could get on that flight and just, you know, have a positive idea in my mind.
Yeah.
The first 20 minutes were really positive.
Mm-hmm.
They have led Duke, North Carolina, and Virginia at the half this year. Play for the last 20, and you got a national title. You have a national title winner on your hands in Central New York.
Yeah, I mean, that it really was a tale of two halves. You know, this was a completely different looking team for Syracuse in that second half than it was in the first half. Jack, before we let you go, parting thoughts. How was the food?
Food was good. Yeah. Ribs.
Ribs?
Yeah, and it was a lot of people were being scared away from the ribs because they were cut into like slabs of five. So you would open the tray and say, oh man, that's too much food. Like the optics are just awful if you put one of those on your plate. But, you know, I'm a growing boy, so I put a slab on my plate, and I had fun. It was dry. I'm not going to say it was dry. They were a tad dry for my liking.
Wait, was it dry rub, or was it wet?
No, there was some barbecue sauce, but it was it was splotchy.
Oh.
Mm. So, you know, room for improvement, but, you know, it was good. Some nice rolls, too, and then the dessert spread is always great.
Cookies?
Yeah, cookies, brownies, all of it.
Uh-huh.
It was delicious.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, no problem. I'm going to go. It's Girl Scout season, too, so I may just really dig into my sweet tooth and have a couple Thin Mints.
Oh, now I'm hungry.
Freezer? That's my question for
100%.
You guys. Freezer question mark?
Are you kidding me? 100%.
Yeah, I'm not a Girl Scout cookie guy.
All right, that's it for the double overtime.
Well,
ridiculous.
We have another 29 minutes on the air. So, 315-443-2011. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. Stick around. We'll be right back.